Amen. Man, what a blessing this morning. Great song. And it's good to see. Also, we have our two newest additions this morning. And I noticed Taylor Campbell got out and walked out with Stetson, the new baby. And then, And then Lillian, I know Nicole just got up and took Lillian out. And Greg's here this morning. Good to see the new babies here this morning. Also appreciate the throwing star somebody gave me this morning. Isn't that amazing? The first thing a guy looks at when he looks at that, I thought of a throwing star, but, you know, it's an ornament. It's red, white, and blue for Memorial Day. But the first thing I thought about was a ninja throwing star. Yeah. Just the way we're wired. I just wanted to throw it at somebody. John chapter 1. Continue our series of study, following in the footsteps of Jesus. And this morning I will do my very best. I'm looking at the clock, and so probably are some of you. We've come through the titles, and we've seen the names, various names of Jesus. We see in John chapter 1, he's called the Word, capital W-O-R-D. He's called the Light. And again, on Easter Sunday, we preached on the Lamb of God, verse 30. And then last Sunday, we preached on the Son of God. He's called the Son of God. And today, he's called the Messiah. Look with me in verse 35, John chapter 1, verse 35. And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." So we see a repetition of the Lamb of God, which was also he used in verse 29 when he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" And he saith unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with them that day, for it was about the 10th hour, about 10 o'clock in the morning, Roman time. And so they spent the day with him. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he first findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah." We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. You ought to underline that in your Bible. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is being interpretation, a stone. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, thank you, Lord, for your word and for, again, this particular event. We pray, God, that you would allow us this morning, give us wisdom as we speak and as we preach. And then, Lord, may we convey the importance of bringing others to Jesus. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here Andrew. We see here John the Baptist. We see here Andrew coming and saying, "We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. We found the long-awaited Messiah, the promised one." The promised one. To the Jew, that word Messiah meant Son of God. So they would have recognized when Andrew said, "Hey, we found the Messiah, we have found the Son of God." This promise of the Messiah begins all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when Adam and Eve were promised a remedy to their fallen condition. You see, the Bible says there in Genesis chapter 3, we have the account of the fall of mankind in Adam. Adam and Eve sinned. Adam fell that day, and all mankind. It was Adam who got us in a mess. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who gets us out. The first Adam got us in the mess. The second Adam gets us out. And so we see again the Messiah, the promised one. Genesis chapter 22, we see that great picture of Abraham offering up Isaac, the promised Messiah to come. Every sacrifice that was made from Genesis 3:15, when that promise was made, and then God sacrificed animals there and made coats of skin for Adam and Eve. From that time forward, every sacrifice that was made, every animal sacrifice, the lambs, the goats, the sheep, the oxen, the turtle doves, I mean, all the various sacrifices, all pictured the Messiah who would come. So, you got to get this in your mind now. When a father and son, or when a father and daughter, when a family came to the temple, when the family came to the Old Testament temple, the Old Testament tabernacle, a priest would teach. It wasn't just them coming up and slitting the lamb's throat and blah, blah. No, the priest would teach them, hey, here is what the lamb is picturing. Here's what the lamb represents. And here's what the sacrifice represents. And here's what you can look forward to in the future, that one day a Messiah will come. One day the Lamb of God will come. One day a Messiah will come. And so this was preached, this was taught over and over and over again to the Jew by the priest, by the various priests. And so they were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for, the Greek word is Christ. They were looking for Christ. They were looking for the Messiah who would come. He did come. Andrew said to Simon, I found him. John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. We have found the Messiah. We see here in the first three verses, John the Baptist again decreasing. John the Baptist was born 6 months prior to Jesus Christ. John the Baptist begins his ministry 6 months prior to Jesus. John the Baptist's ministry was to prepare the way for the Lord. He was preparing the way. He was the one crying in the wilderness, making the path straight for the Lord. He began that ministry. In chapter 3 and verse 30, John the Baptist says, he, that is Christ, must increase, I must decrease. And so we see in this particular passage, from this passage forward, we began to see John the Baptist's disciples now turning from John to Jesus, leaving John the Baptist and following Jesus Christ. John was happy about that. That was his purpose. He came in order to prepare the materials for the first church. John the Baptist didn't establish the first church. He prepared the materials for it. Kind of like King David for Solomon. John the Baptist prepared the materials for Jesus in order that Jesus might establish his church. In other words, John the Baptist preached and people got saved and baptized. And those converts became the first members of the first church, Baptist church of Jerusalem that Christ established himself. John the Baptist prepared those materials. John the Baptist appointing them to the Savior. John the Baptist again said to the disciples, that, behold the Lamb of God. He points them to the Savior. By the way, he didn't point to, here's the King. He said, he pointed them to, here's the Lamb. The Lamb, the sacrifice. So when these individuals are being converted, when they're getting saved, he's pointing them to the sacrifice that Christ would make. Not that one day he would rule and reign as King of Kings. Can I remind you this morning that Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago and that he was born in a manger, and throughout his life, his 33 and a half years, he lived a sinless life, never one time having a sinful thought, never one time performing a sinful deed. He was sinless in disposition. He was sinless in desire. He was sinless indeed. And yet, he went to the cross. He said, no man takes my life, I'll lay it down. The Jews didn't kill him. The Romans didn't kill him. He said, no man could take my life. But he laid it down sacrificially for you and for me. Amen. And the Bible says he took upon the sins of the world upon him, that the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. And there he died for my sin. There he died for your sin. There he gave his life and shed his blood for the sins of the whole world. He died, shed his blood, and they buried him in a tomb. But 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, having paid for our sins in full. See, the grave could not hold him because he had no sins of his own. But after he had paid for our sins, he rose from the dead and now sits at the right hand of the throne of God. I hope this morning you know Jesus as your Savior. I hope there's been a point in your life when you've put your faith and trust in him and his life, his death, and his resurrection as your only means of salvation, as your only means to get to heaven. Jesus Christ said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus Christ is the only way to escape hell, amen, the penalty of sin. Jesus Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice and gave his life in order that we might have everlasting life. John the Baptist pointing souls to Jesus, pointing disciples to Jesus Christ. And there we have John and Andrew there. John, the one who wrote this book, the one who wrote this particular book. John the Apostle, who became the Apostle, and Andrew. At this point, they began to follow Jesus. Look there, it says, and the two disciples heard him speak. Heard who speak? Jesus. When Jesus showed up, he began to teach. And after they had heard him, John and Andrew, they followed Jesus. And John the Baptist pointing them that way, pointing them to others, pointing them to Jesus, and they followed him. By the way, Jesus still speaks today. He speaks through this. He's not going to show up in a big, 100-foot statue and speak to you. No, he speaks through his word. He's still speaking to people today to follow him, to follow him. Somebody asked me here recently, they had tried to witness to an atheist. They said, what do you say to an atheist? What do you say? I would say the same thing that the disciples did here. I would say just point him to Jesus. And how do you point him to Jesus? This. See, the Lord's still speaking today. What the atheist needs to do is sit down and read the Word, that they might hear the voice of Jesus, that they might hear the Word of the Lord. So you can't change their mind, but this can. This book's alive. It's dynamic. It's dynamic. It's dynamite. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. It's an amazing book. Just let the book do the work. You can try to convince them, but the Holy Spirit can convict them if you're given the book. John the Baptist, pointing them to Jesus. And there they heard Jesus, and they followed him. And then Jesus turns around and says, what seek ye? And I put it this way, what are y'all seeking? It uses the word ye, it's plural. What are y'all seeking? And what he's asking them is, they recognize him as the Messiah. John the Baptist had already assured him of that. Here's the Lamb. What are y'all seeking? Are y'all seeking the revolutionary leader? Are y'all seeking the king who will free you from Roman oppression, free you from Roman bondage? You see, Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 9 and chapter 9 and chapter 11 and many of the other prophets spoke about a king who would come. In other words, there are many Old Testament prophecies concerning the Messiah that link him to being a king. That prophesy that one day he will become a king. And so Jesus is asking him, are y'all looking for a king? Are y'all looking for someone to lift the yoke of burden from Roman oppression? So again, the disciples were confused. By the way, the disciples were confused even up until after the resurrection concerning whether Jesus was indeed the deliverer, one who would deliver them from Roman oppression, the one who would reign as king. They were still looking for that. In fact, one of them said, hey, let's build three temples and let's go. Let's set the kingdom up. No, he came as a Savior. By the way, one day he will return as king. Amen. One day he will put all under his feet. But Jesus assured his disciples throughout his ministry, his 3 years of ministry, that there was a cross before the crown. Jesus is asking here, what are y'all seeking? What are you seeking? Are you seeking a revolutionary leader? Are you seeking a king? Are you seeking a Savior? Remember, the angel said, and he shall be called Jesus, Savior. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus means Savior. Isaiah 53, the prophet describes the Messiah as one who would come, who would sacrifice. A lamb led as to the slaughter. Again, there was confusion among the Jews as to which one it would be. Would the Messiah be a lamb or would the Messiah be a king? The answer is both. The answer is both. Prophets did not see the church age. I know I don't have time to give a prophecy. Don't have time this morning. I don't want to take the time. But when Isaiah the prophet was looking forward in time, there as if there was two hills with a big valley between these two mountains, all right? So get that picture in your mind. Let me help you, all right? Old Testament prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, all the Old Testament prophets, when they were prophesying about future events, it was like as if they were looking and they would see one big mountain and they would see a deep and long valley, which they couldn't see in it, and then they would see a second mountain. Okay, so when Isaiah the prophet is looking down through time, what he sees is the first mountain. He sees the cross of Jesus Christ. He sees the Messiah coming as the Lamb of God. He sees the Messiah coming as the sacrifice for all mankind. That's what Isaiah is seeing in Isaiah chapter 9, Isaiah chapter 11. I'm sorry, Isaiah 53. He's seeing the cross first. He sees the cross. He doesn't see our church age. He doesn't see the age of grace. And then he sees the second coming of Christ, when Jesus Christ will come as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So the Old Testament prophets don't speak about the church. Hello? I don't care what some of these weirdo guys on TV and television do. The Old Testament prophets do not speak about the church. They didn't see that. They saw the cross. And they saw the future reign of the Lord as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the answer is both. The answer is both. He will one day reign as king, but he came the first time as a lamb. We notice in verse 39 that Andrew and John spent time with Jesus. And as a result of spending time with Jesus, they left there. Andrew did and left there. And we know that next Sunday we'll follow up with John. But Andrew left there and began to talk about Jesus. It says there, and one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. Verse 41, he first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted to Christ. So as Andrew spent time with Jesus, the result of that was that he wanted to tell somebody else. By the way, spending time with Jesus will always result in telling somebody else. When you read the Bible, when you're praying, when you are coming to church, and the results are going to be that you're going to tell somebody about Jesus. You just can't help it. The evidence of revival is evangelism. The evidence of revival in your heart is evangelism, a heart for souls. Andrew went. Can I just again challenge you as a Christian and we as Christians? That simply to attain knowledge about who Jesus is and God and everything that's found in the Bible, just to attain that knowledge will produce pride in your life unless you are applying it. Knowledge puffeth up, the Bible says. See, what happens is if you only are taking in, if you're just coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Thursday night, and you're coming to Sunday school and you're reading your Bible daily, but you're not applying it. You're not telling others of Jesus. You're not out on soul winning. You're not on visitation. You're not applying these things at work and at school and with your neighbor. You know what happens? You become the Dead Sea. Right? The Jordan River, the Jordan Valley comes down into the Dead Sea. It comes into the Sea of Galilee first. Very fertile lake. Great lake with lots of fish and lots of, I've seen it myself, saw the catfish and tilapia, saw lots of good catfish, always had some bait with me, and then flows into the Dead Sea. I have swam in the Dead Sea. You cannot sink. It's an amazing thing. But this Dead Sea has nothing living in it. It's dead. Why? Because it has no outlet. It's the lowest elevation in the world, and it has no outlet. And all it does is just kills everything that comes into it. And when you're not telling others, when you're not applying the Word of God, you become the Dead Sea. By the way, one day the Dead Sea will be opened up and it will flourish. Looking forward to that day. We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah. The word Messiah in Hebrew, that's the Hebrew word for Messiah, is anointed one. So it is referring to his kingship. Kings were anointed in the Old Testament. So you can see how the Jew would have said, well, if he's the Messiah, then he's going to be king. The Greek word for Messiah is Christ. So we have Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. And for the Jew, it meant Son of God. So Andrew says to Simon, hey, I have found the Son of God. I have found the Messiah. I have found the anointed one. I have found the king. Remember John the Baptist said, the Lamb. Keep pointing them that direction. Jesus kept pointing them that direction too, telling them, I'm going to die. 3 days later, rise from the dead. But we see Andrew brought him to Jesus. Look there with me again. We're almost done. He first findeth his own brother Simon. Look at verse 42. And he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Jesus, the word means, the name means Savior. Speaking of the sacrifice, speaking of his salvation. Listen, we're to go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to go and tell. We're to go into the highways and hedges, compelling them to come in, that the house of God may be full, that they may hear the gospel. They may hear about Jesus. We're to go tell everybody. We're to bring everybody to Jesus. Why? Because it's only Jesus Christ that can change lives. Let me clarify. It is only Jesus Christ that can truly change a life. Jesus Christ. Meeting Jesus made a change in Simon's life. Look at this one more time. He said to them, look at verse 42. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas." Notice this little phrase. Thou art Simon, thou shalt be. Thou art now Simon, thou shalt be Cephas. Well, it's not what happened when we got saved. Thou art a sinner. Thou art a sinner. Thou art on your way to hell. Thou art under the penalty of sin. Thou art a sinner, selfish by nature. Thou shalt be a child of God. Thou shalt be changed. Thou shalt be changed. Aren't you thankful for the change and the difference God makes in our life? Let's clarify again. Aren't you thankful for the change that Jesus makes in your life? What a change. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's why we get up in the pulpit every Sunday and we say, the greatest decision you will ever make is to become a child of God. Amen. The greatest decision you will ever make in life is to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Why? Yes, I'm thankful for the home in heaven that it brings me, and certainly that's number one on the list. I'm thankful to escape hell. I'm thankful to be able to spend eternity in heaven. But listen, He changed your life now. He changes your life for the better now. Thou art Simon. Thou shalt be Peter, a stone. Cephas is merely the Aramaic name. Peter is the Greek name. It's the same name. Thou art Peter. Thou shalt be Peter. Thou art Cephas. Thou art, I'm sorry, I'm going to mess it up. Thou art Simon. Thou shalt be Peter, a stone. A stone. Christian, maybe you need to be reminded this morning just how far God's brought you. Just how good God is to you. And maybe here this morning you're looking for some answers. May I say, I found the Messiah. May you come to Jesus. You want a change in life? You want a dramatic change in life that is lasting? Listen, you can go and hear a motivational message from a great motivational speaker. And you may have changed for a while, but you want a lifetime, you want lasting change, come to Jesus. He will change your life. John the Baptist's ministry was preparing and pointing people to Jesus. May we follow his example. Jesus came as Savior, but one day will come as King. May we follow John, the apostle, and Andrew, the example, and bring people to Jesus. The hope of any life is Jesus. The hope of any ruined life is Jesus. The hope for America is Jesus. May we delight and bring others to Jesus Christ. Let's all stand. Thou art Simon, thou shalt be called Cephas. And he brought him to Jesus. May we follow this example. You want life change? You want a lasting life change? Come to Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your love and for your grace and your mercy. And we thank you for, Lord, salvation found in your dear Son, Jesus Christ. God, I thank you in my own life, the change and difference you've made. Lord, if there's someone here who's never accepted you as Savior, I pray they might get saved today. Maybe here to this morning there's someone looking for a life change. Lord, may you do it again. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name.